What do you have faith in? Do you have faith in the government? Do you have faith in the NHS? The police? What about your best friend? Your husband? Your wife? Your car? The 191 bus? Your feet? Sometimes, yes. The quality of Marks and Spencer's products? The cleansing power of Persil? The reliability of your Bosch washing machine? All sorts of things we can have faith in. I suspect that if we're totally honest, though, we would admit that none of the foregoing is completely infallible. Even if there are statistics or reports or people purporting to say otherwise. But what about God? Do we have faith in him? And what does that mean? Hebrews 11, verse 6 says that no one can please God without faith. For whoever comes to God must have faith that God exists and rewards those who seek him. Well, if we are to have faith in God, it does seem fair enough that we need to believe that he exists. Without that, we're not going to get very far. But is that enough? In James chapter 2, verse 19, he says that even the demons believe that. No, that is only the beginning. God not only wants us to acknowledge his existence, but to have a personal, trusting relationship with him, one which will totally change our lives. That's quite amazing, isn't it? And faith is probably the single most important element of that relationship with God. So, what is faith? Faith is belief with strong convictions, says one source. Firm belief in something for which there may be no tangible proof. Complete trust in or devotion to. Faith is the opposite of doubt. But what is faith from the Christian point of view? In this morning's reading from Hebrews 11, we heard, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. So faith, as described here, has two aspects. First of all, it provides a guarantee, an assurance, something solid upon which we can rely. It's not wishy-washy. We can be sure of the things we hope for. And secondly, because it is substantial, it moves us forward. It provides a firm base, one which gives us confidence and courage to move out into the unknown. We may not be able to see what lies ahead, but our faith enables us to be certain that God is guiding us, and ultimately, we're going to reach our heavenly home. In order to illustrate his point, the writer of Hebrews provides a long list of Bible heroes who had faith in God, and he sets out what they achieved. There was Abel, there was Enoch, and Noah, and then the passage we heard this morning about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah showed their faith by holding on to the promises which God had given them. God had promised that they would have as many descendants as there are stars in the sky or grains of sand upon the beach. He'd also promised that the descendants would have a new land to live in, Canaan. And that was why, at the age of 75, at God's bidding, Abraham packed up his possessions, gathered together his family, his servants, his animals, and set off into the unknown. Abraham was given no explanation of how God would fulfill his promises. All he had to rely upon was his faith in God. I wonder how many people here have had to step out in faith. I've told you before, some of you before, about my abseiling experience when I went away with the guides. As you probably know, abseiling involves launching yourself off the top of a wall or a building and, with the aid of a rope attached to a harness, bouncing down to the ground. Right, well, I climbed up the ladder at the side of the abseiling wall to the platform on the top. Once up there, it did seem to be a lot further away from the ground than before. But anyway, I put on the harness and I listened carefully to the directions of the instructor as to how to operate the ropes. Release this one and it lets you down. You release this one and it stops you. Well, that seems straightforward enough. Next, though, I had to go to the edge of the platform, turn round so that I was facing backwards, and then, and this is the hard bit, step off the edge and sit down in the harness. Now, it sounds easy enough, doesn't it? But the big question was, could I convince my brain that this harness would support me? But until I stepped off the edge, I wouldn't know if it would or it wouldn't. I had to have faith that what the instructor had told me to do was right. I had to have faith that this harness would hold me. So, with great trepidation, I stepped off the edge. And needless to say, the harness held and I bounced reasonably sedately down the side of the wall. The test of my faith, though, was taking that first step into the unknown. Faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. Like my harness, these qualities need secure points to be fixed to. We're told in Genesis that Abraham believed God. He believed that the promise God made to him about a son would come true because he believed the God who made the promise. The starting point of faith is believing in God's character. He is who he says he is. The end point is believing in God's promises. He will do what he says. When we believe that God will fulfill his promises, even when we don't see those promises materializing yet, we show faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, we're reminded who this God is that we are to have faith in. He is the one who created the universe. He declared that it was to be, and it was. God's word has amazing power. Living by faith is not easy to do, though. Faith is something that we must learn and build up. Our steps in faith are going to be hesitant at first, until we gain the confidence to trust in God. We may stumble and fall. We may go off in our own direction. We may want to push things forward as we think they should go, unwilling to trust in God's plan or his timing. As I said, Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran in accordance with God's instructions. He may well have thought that at that stage in his life, there was little that he could do for God. But nevertheless, he did what he was told and set off with his family and his servants and his possessions. If you read Genesis, you will see, though, that it just wasn't a question of Abraham moving down to Canaan, building himself a house, and living happily ever after. First of all, he had no permanent home, and he had to travel around the countryside, living in a tent. He was a stranger and a foreigner in this land. Then there was a famine in Canaan, and he had to move to Egypt for a time. Next, his men fell out with his nephew Lot's men, because there was not enough pasture land for them to stay together, and the family separated. Later, Lot was captured by warring armies and had to be rescued by Abraham. God's timing is not necessarily our timing, though. It was, in fact, 25 years later, when Abraham was 100, that Isaac was born. That is a long time to wait. I'm sure that on many occasions during those years, Abraham wondered how and when God was going to keep his promise. But in the end, his faith remained intact. But how many times, though, do we get impatient with God and think, why isn't this happening? I've been praying for this for ages, and it's clearly the best thing for me, or for the church, or for whatever. Hard as it is, we have to remember that God has his own timetable. He can see the overall picture and knows what is best for us and when, or even if it is right for a particular event to happen. We need to resist the temptation to press God into our conceived timetable and to be open to things happening much later, or indeed much sooner than we expect. God doesn't forget us, but he needs us to be ready to respond. Are we ready to accept the challenge of what God has to offer us? Stepping out into the unknown is worrying and can be scary. However, sometimes it's not until we try the unfamiliar, take the risk, that we find out what we and God are capable of. Does it matter then how old or how young we are? No. Remember the boy David fighting the giant Goliath. And remember Abraham becoming a father at 100. We do not need to rely upon our own strength and abilities. Abraham was not able to foresee the long-term fruits of his obedience. For him, having a son and heir was all that he asked and wanted. But God promised him that he would be the ancestor of a great nation. And he was. In fact, his name is honored by Jew, Christian, and Muslim alike. So saying yes to God can have consequences beyond our wildest imaginings. Why don't we try it and see what happens? One of Abraham's great strengths is that he keeps looking forward, even though he already has had a long life behind him. The older we get, the more experiences we have to look back on to see when and how God has been working in our lives. And when we see that, our faith is increased. But we must use those experiences as a stepping stone to move forward. God helped us before. God will help us again. But our faith and trust in him must remain constant, even if we cannot yet see what his purpose is. We must not lose our nerve, even if the path ahead seems uncertain. God is with us, and surprising as it may seem, he wants to be with us. If we fall, he will be there to help us up. A Chinese proverb says, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Is God calling us today to set out in a different direction, to try something new, to change something in our lives? Maybe you can hear the call, but don't know where it will take you. Take that first step, surprise yourself, and see where your journey in faith leads.